And on this edition of St. Teresa's on the Air, we are joined once again by our benevolent and wonderful pastor, Father Ray. Welcome to the microphones once again.
Hey, everybody.
What are you doing over there?
I'm checking out to see if it's true what you just told me about the calendar.
Oh, the calendar?
Yeah, and it still says 21.
Does it?
We're a little behind.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be fixed, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be one of those episodes, I see, huh?
He says, you bet your bippy it'll be fixed.
I don't think I've ever uttered those words. Bet your bippy?
Do you know where that came from?
I have no idea.
Oh, you're not that much younger than I am.
Is it a John Wayne thing?
No, it's a Rowan and Martin Laffin reference.
Oh, my God, they were passé by the time I came on the scene. You are much older than I am. Oh, Lord.
So
I'm trying to catch up to you.
Well, you only do it one day at a time, but you'll always be exactly the same amount younger than I am.
Until you're dead.
That's true. And then you'll catch up eventually.
Maybe.
You may pass me, though.
I might.
You might.
So.
But let's not talk about me dying, man. We don't want to do that.
No.
So, what are we talking about today?
So, where are we at? Today is...
Today, the day that we are initiating this broadcast is July the 26th.
26th, yes.
And that means that
it's
coming
this... the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne today, as a matter of fact. The parents of Mary. Saints Joachim and Anne.
Not Joachim
or Anna.
Is it not pronounced
no,
Joachim?
It's, well, I mean, maybe some people pronounce it that, but I...
Joachim. Oh. So yeah, there were. I was listening to some discussion about that earlier today. You know, people wonder who are Mary's parents. She had parents.
Joachim and Anne. J-O-A-C-H-I-M.
Okay.
A-N-N-E.
Anne.
Joachim.
And Anne.
So can you imagine a little baby Jesus or a little infant Jesus running up saying, you know, hey, Pepe Joe. I don't know. I mean, it's not unrealistic, right?
No.
I mean, you know, he wasn't born and then just sat in a presider's chair, you know, his whole life until the wedding at Cana, you know. So, I mean, he had grandparents. And just think, you know, what do your grandparents, grandchildren call you guys who are listening and who may have grandchildren, right? You know? So, we have to assume they were excellent parents.
We must assume that.
Because they raised a good child in Mary, right? And so...
Now, did they know?
No. We have no knowledge of that, and I would doubt that they did know. I think they were just in a lineage of good, holy people who had parents that were just God-centered, you know? And all part of the plan of our redemption was that at one of those moments, one of those grandparents would give birth to the mother of the Savior. And so you can imagine that they just raised Mary to be God-fearing, God-loving, service-centered. You know, we know she was service-centered because after the angel Gabriel appeared to her and asked her to do something, her response was yes, of course, with a little bit of fear and trepidation because she says, how can this happen, right? But then we see the service aspect because she goes in haste to Elizabeth, right? And so she, kind of sees a need and she responds to it, you know. If she wasn't raised right, she would have been like, oh, okay. I can't do anything. I'm pregnant with the Holy Spirit. You know, hey, everybody. But that wasn't her, you know, because she would have never been the one chosen. So, you know, what do we see from Mary's parents is what we know of Mary. You know, we don't know and we don't hear anything in the Gospels. You know, we do hear it from some of those books, and I know everybody that's listening is yelling out the word. I want to say proto-evangelist books or something like that. I don't know. Don't quote me on this. And just scratch that from the tape, Steve. But, you know, from those Gospels that never made it into our book of scriptures, right? The Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of, was it Joseph, the Gospel of all these people, right? And some of them had the names of Joachim and Anne listed, and that's where we get their names from. And so, you know, I like to do this to those of you listening so that when you say, what is Father Ray talking about now? It'll cause you to want to go online and educate yourselves. Because I'm sure the day that we talked about it in seminary, I was probably out, you know, milking the cows or getting the eggs for the chickens or
doing, you know, something service-oriented.
There you go. There you go. And if you know me, you're probably thinking, yeah, right.
Now, don't sell yourself short, because you do.
I'm not going to be out there milking cows and, you know, my
niece. No. Nothing farm-oriented, you do lots of service, let me tell you.
Oh, thank you. I do.
I've seen you break a sweat around here way too much.
A couple times. Yeah. A couple times. But yeah, so Joachim and Anne, good people, good holy people. And so we need to pray for all of our, you know, grandparents. You know, and boy, you think about it today, how many grandparents are actually raising the kids?
That's a number. That, you know, is a number.
Ooh, our society, oh my goodness. I really don't want to get into all that, but, you know, it is a sign of, you know, what happens, you know? And I mean, the grandparents, I don't want to say they're not doing their job, but I think society has such a grip on so many parents, you know? The keeping up with the Joneses and, you know, then putting themselves first, you know? You can't be a witness for God by putting you as number one. You know, what do they say? The best witness is the witness of how you live your life and, you know, the people you hang around with and what you do in your spare time, you know. And so there is that reality that our society is more about the unholy trinity, which I talk about often enough because it's so true. You know, the me, myself, and I. And then I'll take care of my kids, you know. Well, I mean, how are they going to learn and grow, right? They're going to learn the same thing. So, you know, we have to look at, was it the fruit of who you are, right? You know, and so the fruit of Joachim and Anne being the Blessed Mother was that they were good parents. You know, they obviously put God first, and they taught their daughter Mary to do the same, and so, you know, we need to pray, you know, for a rejuvenization. Say that three times fast.
Rejuvenation. How about that?
Rejuvenation? Is that a word?
It is if we want it to be.
Well, you all know what we're talking about. So, but to rejuvenate, there you go. To rejuvenate, you know, family life, you know. So that brings us to, of course, the getting ready to kick off our family faith formation. You know? And so, you know, this year it's, you know, we change because change is good. A lot of people don't like change, and, you know, but staying in the box is not good. You know, it gets stale and stinky in the box. It gets crowded, and it limits our minds to only what we can see inside the box. And so, you know, we've had many different things that we've offered, and we try things, and it's never about the majority, but what's best, you know. Our role as the Catholic Church is to aid you in that promise that you made before you got married in the church about raising children in the faith, as well as, and I know you've heard this a million times from me, the promise you made three times before having your children baptized about raising your children in the faith. Not saying, yes, I promise, Father, to drop my child off at CCD class so me and my husband, or me and my wife, can go to Waffle House without the kids, you know, just have a quiet breakfast. Hey, I get it, you know. That's important. Which reminds me, as a side note, you know, parents, you know, I hope you still do that. You know, those date nights, get someone to watch the kids, you know, go out. Don't let the kids become the center of your relationships, because that's part of the whole downfall of marriage and family life, you know, because eventually, you know, as the kids are in the center of the of married life, you know, when those kids move off to college or trade school or just get married themselves and move out of the house, you know, you look at each other and you say, who are you? Because, you know, for the last 18, 20, depending how many kids you have, 22 years, you know, the kids have been the center and you've grown each separately in a way. So I think, you know, making sure that as parents, as husband and wives, you know, you do that once a month. You know, find a sitter, go out for a date night, just the two of you, you know. Rejuvenate, there it is, maybe that's the word for today, to rejuvenate your married vows, right? And those marriage vows do include the education of your children in the areas of faith. You know, how many parents, you know, spend a fortune, oh my goodness, you know, on trumpet lessons, on clarinet lessons, on scouting, on football, on dance, on goodness sakes, on sending the kids to, you know, camps over the summer or throughout the year that are expensive, and oh, the list just goes on. You know, why we do that? Because we want our kids to grow, to be, you know, well-rounded with good morals and values, and yet we seem to skip out often on the sacraments and on the faith. You know, nobody is guaranteed tomorrow, and that includes children as well, you know. And so we really need to you know, kind of focus on that. That's got to be the most important thing, you know. And so we start our family faith formation program, where we will have like just four times a year. That's quarterly, right? Four. That's the last time quarterly. I checked.
Yep.
That was never good math. You know, actual family gatherings. This year we're going to attempt to try to help the families. We understand time constraints and people are busy and all this. And so one of the changes this year will be that we'll actually, after the mass that you attend on the weekend, after that mass, you'll stick around for about an hour where the family unit will stay together. So it's not like we're going to do like we have in the past, which kind of works somewhat, you know, where the family unit stays together. And we'll start with a little activity. We'll have a lesson. And then there'll be another family activity. And then that's it. You'll be done. Each month you'll be emailed the monthly bulletins with activities for you to do throughout the month. That doesn't change. You know, we at St. Teresa's will still be doing our part, which is what? To help you to educate your children in the faith. Not to babysit your kids while you go to Waffle House, right? That's not what this is about. And so we're going to try it this year. Again, trying to help you, you know. If you're a 4:30 Mass person because your Sundays are just slam busy, you know, and then come 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, you're like, I just don't feel it going over to the hall and, you know, for an hour and a half and dragging the kids and, you know, especially during the school year and getting them ready, make sure the homework and all that detail and everything's done. You know, this might help you. This might actually be even more beneficial for you since your whole family will be there at Mass. And so you'll come and we'll gather, and either one of the deacons or somebody will, or myself, you know, when I can. So, I mean, there's pretty much only two Masses I'd be able to, because, you know, I have Mass after the 8:30. I wouldn't be able to meet with that group. And then after the 10, I can't meet with that group either. But I can meet with the after the 11:30 and on Saturday after the 4:30 Mass, you know, to meet with the families and to do, you know, to do the program and to answer questions and to help. This is the plan, you know, as we start to move forward. But it's not just those four times. You know, throughout the year, we're going to be doing a lot of different activities. Fifth Sunday activities, you know, that's what we're calling it. You know, there's four times a year that there's a fifth Sunday, right? And so, you know, if you take those four plus the four that for the Family Faith Formation, that's only 2 months of the year that we're asking you to actually take an active family role in coming to the church, participating in the activity, because it's not just about, you know, I sit behind a desk and I learn. What is it? What's it about? It's about family. It's about community. You know, it's about the support of one another in the Catholic faith. You know, and so we want that to grow. And so we kick off this Sunday, depending when you listen to this. So Sunday the 30th, which happens to be Angel Bradford's birthday. So if you see her, make sure you say happy birthday to Angel. And that's a paid advertisement by Bradford Incorporated.
Happy birthday to Angel.
On the 30th. Or, where am I? Jeez, I just lost it. But, okay, so the parish picnic, you know?
Oh, that's coming up, yeah.
Yeah, so on that'll be on the 30th.
Oh, so if Angel comes to the
picnic. It can be like a parish event for her.
That's right.
I don't know if she likes it when I bring her name out. But anyways, we're not going to go
there.
I'm
sure she loves it.
She's a good person, and we're grateful to have her in her dedicated service to the church and all that she does. And there's a lot that she does that most of the people have no idea. And so we're grateful. We need more people like Angel. And so Sunday, hopefully we'll, you know, after the 12:30 Mass, you know, if you remember back in the day, that was before me. You know, they used to do the picnic down in the park behind the school, and you dragged everything out there, and it was hot and miserable, and, you know, and then everybody had to drag it, and it was long days. And then, you know, for a few years, we moved it into the hall using the outside grassy knoll area for the picnic, because it wasn't safe for people to walk down there, especially our older parishioners. Now they can come. They can be in the hall where it's air-conditioned, it's cool, they're not stuck outside. If they want to go outside, they're more than welcome, you know. But our focus on our fifth Sundays will be to help the Colby Center in Macon, Georgia, which is the only Catholic-run pregnancy aid center in the Diocese of Savannah. Yes, we have a lot of Christian-run pregnancy centers. I believe there's one even here in Leesburg. And so we're asking on those fifth Sundays for people to, you know, not only this Sunday to help with the picnic by, you know, if you're in letters A through whatever, you know, check the bulletin to bring a dessert or bring chips or a drink or whatever. I don't even know offhand. I'm just babbling. To do so, but also to bring kind of like if you're going to a baby shower, maybe a thing of diapers, or if you'd like to make a cash donation. And we're going to start supporting the Colby Center and our local pregnancy center, because it's important for us to do. We've done it in different varied ways. We've had the baby bottle drive. We've done things like that in the past, but we just need to become a more pro-life, proactive parish that you know, I mean, that should be one of the tenets of our faith, which is to do what, you know, to, you know, the support of human life from conception to natural death. So there are several things coming up. So you really got to pay attention to the bulletin, you know, because that's where the information is. And 99.99% of the times I get it right in the bulletin. There may be once or twice I might have a wrong day or a number, which is why it's important also for the 12 of you who are listening to make sure you have the parish app, because there's a lot of corrected when we need to correct or information that needs to go out.
Because there's stuff that happens during the week that, right. you know, if it comes out on a Monday, that happens before the next Sunday.
Right. You know. We've had that, you know, especially when it's a death, you know, where we're asking you not only, you know, pray for our deceased, but pray for the family that's left. But, you know, also if you're available, I think it's so wonderful when I see parishioners who had no connection to the family come to the funeral masses to pray and to be present, you know. This Friday, we have another funeral. It's going to be a small funeral, you know, several reasons, but, you know, most importantly because of sickness and the family just couldn't get out. But we're going to have their funeral and then the interment in the columbarium. You know, it's good if people come when I see people, not just when, you know, oh my gosh, that big name in our you know, community died, you know, and everybody's got to get there so they can get credit by having their name in the book, you know, of the dead that as a visitation. That's just, you know, come for the right reasons, you know, come to pray for the soul of that person, because, you know, you'd probably want people at your own funeral praying for you too, right?
Absolutely.
And so, so things like that. That's why the parish app is so important, that you have it. And the information's in the bulletin. I'm sure it's correct.
It is.
If not, I'll send it out on the app, how to download the app. You know, and if you have problems, always just ask. You know, as some kid.
Well, you know, speaking of change, because you said there's change, there may be something musically changing.
There may be.
Maybe.
Yeah. So there are going to be a few of the mass parts that we sing weekend after weekend that we'll be reintroducing.
Yeah.
And bringing
in.
We've been
working up a storm in the music room, rehearsing some new mass parts.
It's got a catchy tune.
Yeah,
I think it does, and I enjoy it.
We were doing a new Gloria and a new Alleluia that probably, let's see, if this is the end of July, sometime during August, I think we'll probably
start introducing
them, and, you know, letting people hear it, and then you know, doing it, you know, by the end of the month, I think.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that. The other change that's gone on is that it is now official that Father Francois Pelissier is now living in residence here at St. Teresa's. Now, let me classify what this means.
I was going to, because you're not putting him on the streets, that's good.
Well, I mean, he had a place in Fitzgerald. But, you know, Father Francois is a Glenmary priest, which is a community priest, and that means, you know, things like the Franciscans, Dominicans, the Jesuits, you know, they belong to a group of like-minded men, they kind of support. Anyways, he's a Glenmary priest. He came into town for some surgery, and I offered him his recovery at the rectory, the second rectory behind the church. And I think he became a squatter because he kind of enjoyed it, you know. And I was like, he's not leaving, you know. And then he had a one of the brothers from the Glenmary was kind of staying too. And I thought, uh-oh. So we worked it out, and he has now officially been transferred by his order with the approval of Bishop Parks to now be in residence here.
So what does it mean to be in residence as opposed to being, say, an
associate
pastor,
right?
Associate pastor or whatever.
Right. So the assistant pastor, I can tell what to do, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it, and everything else.
Okay.
Father Francois, I cannot tell him anything. I only ask him. So, you know, you'll see him every now and then taking maybe a weekday mass or a Sunday mass. We confused everybody last Sunday when he took the 8:30 mass, and everybody was like, oh my God, what's the matter with Father Ray? He was here last night, I heard. Is he okay? Well, now you know. So he'll be doing masses. He'll be a great help to me in the Spanish community. He's fully trilingual, actually.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, yeah, it's French, English, and Spanish. And so, but here's the catch now. You know, he still has some health issues. And we'll be getting ready to go for some more surgery, so keep him in your prayers, especially in the beginning of August. Don't look at Father Francois as an associate priest here at St. Teresa's. That is not his role. Although you'll see him around, that's great. He'll be part of our community, and it's a process of how much he'll get involved. He does have his own list of ministries. He does a lot of prison ministry all over the, you know, the Southeast. and he has other things to do as well. So we warmly welcome him. It's nice when he does take a Sunday Mass, I must say. You know, 3 years I've been doing all four, and I didn't realize, whew, that was nice that, you know, he did the Spanish Mass or did the 8:30 Mass, and I could sleep in on Sunday. It's nice. But Steve still has to do all of them anyways.
So. But that's okay. It's all good. I don't mind doing all that good music on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It's all good. So,
I didn't leave you much to talk, did I, Steve?
That's okay, because we're just flat out of time now.
Yeah.
So, do you have any parting words?
I do not, except that, no, I don't. Yeah, well, you know, me, I can just keep going, but we're going to call it quits for now.
Well, I guess we are. So, on that note, that would be a musical thing. Well, thank you once again for coming in on this gloriously warm summer afternoon.
On the feast of Joachim and Anne, pray for us, huh?
That's right.
Amen.